sign up email on our website at www.simpleactions.net. And I just posted a PayPal link to that webpage where we are, where our seventh tradition is going right now. I'll talk a little bit more about that after the speaker portion. And for those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to the things I can, the wisdom to the different. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would just like to welcome you. You can, I believe you might be able to unmute yourself. Yeah. So please do speak up if you're new. All righty. Well, if you're shy, please stick around after the meeting. We'll all kind of hang out and we'd love to get to know you a little bit. And if some newcomers do pop up, anyone can use the chat function to send their phone number to them. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are discussing steps 5, 6, and 7. Please help me in welcoming our panel. We have from Richmond, Laura and Sarah. Thank you guys so much for being here. We're really excited to hear your experience, strength, and hope. So I will read the first paragraph, which tonight is on 72, and I'll put that up on the screen. And then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. So bear with me. I'm going to put that up there. All right. So just as a refresher, step 5 is admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6 is we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. And step 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So the first reading, page 72. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the 5th step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their ego and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. And Laura, would you like to start us off tonight?
Sure. And I even unmuted myself.
Yay.
Nice. Yes. Thank you guys for having me tonight. Thank you, Annie, for asking. So I'm Laura. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 23rd of 2000. I have a home group. We meet on Saturday at 9 a.m. We're the Basic Text Big Book Study. I have a sponsor and I have the privilege of sponsoring. So those are my vitals. And I'm going to jump right into this. By the way, I really like you. So some of the things that were really important to me in doing a fifth step, and that was pointed out to this idea of newness. I'm going to get a new attitude with my, I don't know about you guys, but like I was pretty broken when I got here and I was pretty damaged. I think I understood that to some degree, but I really thought this like putting duct, like we're just trying to care. And my experience completely different. I mean, the big book filled with language about, you know, our roots grasping new soul set in a new direction. Like it talks about new relations. Offering something that I don't have any conception. And so I'm signing up for, you know, ends up really changing, setting me in. And this is part of it. No one up until I was ashamed, all, you know, my resentments, half of them aren't even real. They're like manufactured things about what I think you think about. Like they're just fabrications. They're not even the truth. And so to take this step with someone was humbling to say the least. I felt like a child. And I will say what was offered to me was just a really well environment. I mean, it's a really, you're laying yourself out there in that room. And I truly believed from that I had shared, that I'd heard in meetings, this was of overcoming and that I need, and I had never done it. I mean, I'd never, the closest I had ever come to taking inventory was the first three columns. And I just stayed mad. And you owned me. And I didn't like that you owned me. And I thought about you all the time. And I never got free. So that's all I have.
Thanks, Laura. Awesome. Go ahead, Sarah.
Thank you. I'm Sarah and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is February 20, 2012. I have the same home group as Laura. I also have a sponsor. And I have the privilege of sponsoring women in this program. And yeah, I also really like this format. My experience with step five is kind of interesting. Like my drinking career was kind of short-lived. And I was very afraid all the time. And I didn't do very much. I'm a big coward. I don't get into a ton of trouble. And I did a lot of my drinking at home. And so I had a very thorough, long four-step, and almost all of my resentments were made up too. And I was definitely worried about, you know, doing step five with my sponsor. I was nervous about it, but I had been to therapy for a really long time. And I also had this horrible habit of just like taking people hostage and then just like bleeding all over them. You know what I mean? Like just telling you the most personal boundary violating things about me, like it was no big deal. So there was part of me that was sort of like, what's the big deal of doing the step five? And I mean, there were things on there that, that I was definitely embarrassed about, but I got through it. And my sponsor was like, wow, she's like, you didn't even cry. And I was like, oh no, was I supposed to cry? Like I got nervous that I like didn't do it right, you know? And I said that to her and she's like, as long as you were thorough, then you did it right. And I was like, I was as thorough as I could be. So, but what I like to share, so, I mean, I didn't have that like white light experience, you know, and I was worried for a little while that I didn't have the thing, but I would say 6 months later, something happened and I got really upset and it was really sad and it's really embarrassing. And I'm not even going to say what it is. Like, I don't even talk about like what it is because I was so embarrassed about it. Such a juvenile, like dumb thing to be upset over, but I was like upset and I was like, it ruined my day. And thankfully, because I had, you know, I was very rebellious with this program. I really wanted to do it my way. But the one thing that I did do right in the beginning was I called my sponsor every day. And so when I called her to check in, I told her this thing, this embarrassing thing, and I left her a message because I didn't get her. And she called me back and I was too afraid to pick up the phone. So she left me a message and she left me the kindest, the sweetest, kindest voicemail back that was just program stuff. You know, just all program stuff, but there was no judgment. She didn't even chuckle. Like there wasn't even like, ho, ha, ha. You know, it was just like, she took me seriously. She didn't judge me. She didn't give me a hard time, nothing. And I was just, and like, that's when I sort of had that sort of white light experience where I was, oh, I can trust this. And I can trust dumbest crap, you know, but it's the dumbest crap that I would drink over, you know, because this, it gets into my head and it just goes out of control. And then I want to drink. And so that for me was, you know, that was my experience with step five, which was so important, was like, this was the first person that like I could trust and who was kind and respected me, because her sponsor was kind and respected her and just shared her experience, strength, and hope, and shared program, you know, big book steps, all that stuff, like kept it really simple. And that saved me. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, I kept coming back, because I was like, oh, I don't have to be afraid to be honest anymore. And I don't have to sit on these secrets anymore. And thank God, because I've, you know, learned to say whatever is on my mind, because my secrets are the things that are going to kill me. So that's my experience with step five. And we'll pass. Thanks.
Awesome. Moving on to next reading, which is on page 73. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension that makes for more drinking.
Laura? Thank you. Yeah, and this is 100% me. And it's funny, you know, I mean, even having a little bit of sobriety, you know, I think it's kind of the beautiful, it can be a little unnerving, but, you know, I'm still growing up and becoming what I think I'm supposed to be. And I for so long lived a double life. I remember I used to joke about it when it's sober, my girlfriend, you know, I would pick out a guy, my next target or victim. And then I would like figure out what he wanted. And then I would try to become that. I always joke that I have an eclectic musical taste because of that, because I had a lot of different guys. And dating is probably too strong of a word there. But it was just this constant, what is it you need me? And if I can't be it, then I leave. And I want you to see me a certain way. And I just feel like a phony all the time, a fake. And I carried that a long time in sobriety. This idea that if you really knew like everything about me, you know, like besides my sponsor, because I love how Sarah talked about that. It's like, I finally started to trust someone and like all my trust was in that basket. And I still carried that for a long time, that if you really knew who I was, and the things that I thought about and the fears that I had, all just random stuff, that you wouldn't really like me. That did not go away for me, easy sobriety. It really, in fact, you know, it can still crop its head up. You know, and I was talking to a woman today, and they talked about it on page 75, it's a life of action. Like crazy stuff comes up when the double life wants to like present itself as an option. I am required to take action despite how I feel. And I always want to feel good before I do anything. It's like a chronic problem. But I have a lot of experience today with taking the action. So even though this stuff doesn't take me down the rabbit hole today, I mean, I can certainly, it did for so long, just darken them. And the light's here today, but man, it can still come up, you know, what you think of me, you know, I want to be a good AA, you know, I want to be a good mom. I want to be blah, 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 blah. You know? And I'll say this one last thing, but what that did for a long time in AA was that set me in competition with things. So AA was in competition with home life. AA was in competition with my work. AA was in competition with my husband. And I didn't even know I was doing. So a lot of that stuff has just gotten shifted out over time. I mean, there's a lot to be said for practice over time, because I just thought I had to get better right away. You know, I'm like a person. And it's okay. The stuff's forever as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
Oh, wow. I'm sitting here thinking that like, I'm going through that right now, you know, like I'm 9 years sober and I'm, you know, I have this, I'm in school. And so I have an internship and I'm working with people that are in the field of that I want to eventually work in. And I just feel like dumb all the time. And I just I've had some bad days, and I've been talking to my sponsor about it. And it's because I want them to see me in a way that I don't think they're seeing me, because I want them to see me as perfect and, never making mistakes and totally having my, you know, my stuff together. And I'm not, like, I am learning and I'm making mistakes and it's so awful. It's so humbling. I hate making mistakes. But like Laura said, like, I don't have to drink over it anymore. But the thing that I have to go back to is like, yeah, I can't control other people and I can't worry about what they think about me. And that has been one of the hardest lessons that I've had to learn in sobriety is like, you know, that saying like what other people think of me is none of my business. Like, oh, I hate that. Cause I want to be the best and I want you to think I'm the best. And, yeah, but the good news is that I don't have to drink over that anymore. I can just feel those feelings and then call my sponsor and talk to her about it. And then I have other tools in this program that I can do to get out of that feeling, you know, cause this is definitely this kind of stuff that I would have drank over in the past. And then, yeah, like the reading said, like, then it's like on top of that, it's like, what did I do when I was drunk? Like, what did I say? Like, you know, how are they going to think about me now? You know? So, yeah, it's definitely, for me, it's been a lesson. It's a continuing lesson. It's something that, that I have to sort of turn over to my higher power as much as possible and try to stay humble and just trust that I am who my higher power wants me to be. As long as I, you know, turn my will and my life over to I call my higher power him. As long as I turn my will and my life over to him, like, it's going to be okay. You know, I think that's all I have.
Thank you, ladies. Next reading is on page 75. When we decided who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory. We are prepared for a long talk. We explained to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Laura?
And I think I already touched on this before, but well, two things I'll back up is that the inventory, when they talk about it, when they talk about the fourth step, it's next we launched out on a course of vigorous action. You know, it's like they mean that. They don't mean like 6 months from now. And I think that's the same type of thing here. We don't need to waste any time. I think it's really important to find someone you trust. I've always taken it with a sponsor, but I've heard other people do different things. My sponsor always says, and this has always just hit me right in the heart. It's like, you want to see how important a spiritual principle is, see what happens when it's violated. And that, I think that's, you know, on the flip side of hearing and it's really important to be mindful. And I don't need to take this stuff lightly entering this. And I did feel so silly doing it. I can remain so uncomfortable. But you know, it talks about in the next paragraph, those are explained to me, those are the step promises. And I wasn't someone who took the fifth step and like, you know, felt all white lighty. And I too, like Sarah talked about, like I struggled with that. But these things, while they didn't immediately happen, like as soon as I took my inventory, I grew into them. And I look back and I see how, I just see how safe and protected I was, how God was so close. And this is just one more layer of opening me up to being able to experience. But again, it's like, I have to continue to seek that. It doesn't, I like things to come through osmosis, you know, like you think about meditating and you feel all one with the creator of the universe. But today, I mean, I can say that, you know, these things have come true for, you know, and I don't walk in this stuff 100% all the time. And when I'm not, that's okay, right? I mean, I think that's why I continue to practice this stuff. That's why I have a sponsor, because it's kind of like a little list, like a checkpoint. You know, if something's going on, then I need to be open and honest sponsor about it. And if I can't get in touch with my sponsor, you know, I had a bunch of women that are kind of in my inner circle that I can confide in. And I think that's a brilliant, and I think that not to place too much uniqueness on how, you know, twisted and dark my past. Like, I mean, that's one of the things I love about AA. It's such an equalizer, right? Like I came here thinking I was so unique and so screwed up and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, everybody else is too. You know, I mean, it may have a different spin or a different flavor, but we've all done things, you know, we've all had experience. And today I think that's and to be at peace with that and not held in bondage, I think that's one of the great gifts of the step. Thank you.
I love, Laura, what you just said about like, it's the great equalizer because yeah, I came in thinking that I was so broken and so unique, truly, literally was like, I am the only person in the world that feels this way. And then subsequently every meeting I went to, it was like, everyone was saying everything that was in my head over and over again. And I was like, oh, but it was great. You know, it was like, oh, thank God, you know, I found my people. And, you know, like I said, like I didn't have that, like, you know, that white light experience, but I will say in doing the fourth step, once I got over the initial discomfort of it, cause at first it was just like, oh, it was so humbling and my ego was just out of control. And it was like, I just felt like such a piece of crap. But once I pushed through that and kept going, I saw all my patterns, you know, and that to me was really fascinating. I mean, I was like, oh, I can't believe I did that again, you know, and then I did that again and again and again. But it was like, oh, this is why I am so upset all the time. And this is why I feel like crap all the time. And this is why I drink, you know, because I keep doing the same stupid stuff over and over again. And yeah, I sat down to say this to my sponsor and like she had experiences that were similar to mine and they weren't exactly the same, but they were basically the same. And she and I were like, you know, this was my first sponsor. She like the most different people, you know? And yet we had really similar experiences. So yeah, I've always taken the step with a sponsor. It's been, I've done a lot of fourth and fifth steps subsequently since my first one. To me, it's one of the best tools for me, to put pen to paper and then to say it out loud to somebody else, because especially in the saying it out loud to somebody else, then it's like when it's up here, it feels so important. And then when it's on the paper and coming out of my mouth, it's like, this is the dumbest, pettiest stuff, but I can laugh at myself now, you know, which is nice. Sometimes. And then it's like, it's so much pressure and it's so intense up here, but then as it's coming out of my mouth, like, it's just like wisps of smoke. You know what I mean? Like there's no tension, there's no pressure, there's no nothing. It's just this silly thing that's been bothering me. And I say it and it's gone, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, it really is incredible. So it's been a huge part of my recovery. And it's a tool that I use often. So thanks.
Moving on to our next reading on page 75. Also, returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing.
It's my turn. So I'm a little bit of a literalist. And I was raised that way in AA degree. So I take these directions literally. I always tell people, don't rob yourself of the hour. I mean, if it's more than an hour, that's even better. But some of the, my experience with the fifth step is that I have got incredible feedback and a lot of questions that have helped go deeper. And so I usually take notes when I'm fifth stepping, my sponsor me prayers or, things like that when my fifth steps. And those were really helpful. I mean, I went back and I reviewed everything that I had written, reviewed things that she had shared with me. And I just kind of got quiet with them. And I will tell you, usually this time for me is a little bit uncomfortable in the sense that whatever has been revealed to me usually hits a little deeper. And my very first fifth step was that I was the victim role my entire life. And I hadn't seen it. I was like, oh God. And that just really sunk in. And it was like, I mean, it was like, it was almost piercing. And subsequently, in fifth steps, there is usually something of that. And so if I'm not sitting quietly and I'm not, it's like, just, it's this opportunity for all this stuff is going to settle down in God. And I've gotten a lot of, And so I think that that's really important. And so then I literally do what it says. I thank God from the bottom of my heart that I know Him better. I turn to page 59. I go through the first five steps again, which is, I think, what I was questioning to. I'm revisiting that work and making sure that what I have done, you know, I haven't forgotten anything. And if I did, no big deal. I mean, I'm not going to get in trouble for that or accidents. I get in trouble for lying. I'm going to hide this stuff because those are the things. I love the arch imagery. You know, it's all throughout the book, the stones putting in. I just love that. I always have. And then, you know, another thing that I like to do, because it asks us when we start to get into step six, it says, are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things we had in our objection? And I like to sit with that question in that time too, because quite often, as ugly as some of this stuff is, it's still serving. And I'm like, I mean, am I really willing for this to go away? Because there's a price to pay for everything. There's a price to pay to be free. And am I willing to do that? I mean, how free do you want to be, Laura? You know? And so sometimes that stuff is a little stuck. And I personally don't think it's a problem with that, because it addresses in the next couple of sentences. We still cling to something. We will not let go. We ask God to help us. One of the things I think is so important is this is not about me changing. Like, there's no working on myself. There's no, let me get in there and tweak it. When I get in there, man, it all goes to what? Like, if I think there's a problem in my marriage and I'm going to go work on that, then watch the bombs, because it's me. It's the third step stuff. It's me all in there. You know, this is about me fully surrendering and asking God to deal with it in whatever way God fit. And I don't really, I've done a lot of work, truth, but I don't really get to say how and when I'm doing sense. And that's really hard for me to surrender to that and just trust that it's all okay and that it's going to be taken care of and care of. My job is to show up, participate. And if I see something that I'm unwilling, that I'm not willing for God to enter into, then it's my job to pray for them. But I'm not going to, and I will tell you, I have written so many inventories trying to micromanage growth. I am surprised my sponsor, because I want something changed. And, you know, I am not joking you. I have looked up words in the dictionary for synonyms to write fear inventory on, because I probably didn't get the wording right. And that's why it hasn't been, I mean, just crazy stuff. And, you know, it may have made me a little squirrely, but I will say that, you know, I was trying to be in there. And I think that we're given a lot here for some of that mess that we do and trying to manage ourselves. And, you know, in six and seven, we show up, but God doesn't. And that's just a really hard thing, I think, for us. I'm still surrendering really every day. But it's just great stuff. You know, there's not much written here in the book, and it's so powerful.
I did not sit for an hour. I think my sponsor suggested I do it, and I did not. She did say, you know, make sure that you haven't forgotten anything. It's been a long enough that I can't really remember exactly what happened. She might've been like, why don't you take 24 hours and pray about it or something? And I did. And it was because I was so afraid of relapsing, because I believed what it said in the book, that it was like, if we are not thorough, if we hold anything back, we'll drink again. And I didn't want to drink again. So I think I did take that time to really make sure that I hadn't forgotten anything. And I may have even added one or two more things only because I remembered them. I was really terrified about relapsing. So I didn't hold anything back on my fourth step. What my sponsor had me do was write down all of my character defects. She listed them off after we finished with the fifth step. She listed them off. I had to write them down. I remember specifically, like, she had me, you know, I'm like writing down the word childish, and I was so angry, I wanted to throw my notebook across the room. Like, I am not childish, which I think is pretty ironic. Cause I am, I'm very childish. And then she had a lot of like, tasks for me to do dealing with my character defects. So I sort of did a lot of writing on it. There wasn't a whole lot of sitting and meditating about it. And it's something, you know, it's really making me think, like, cause Laura, in your share, you know, I've done multiple fourth and fifth steps and I haven't really done this step. This is something that I can, you know, and probably should start doing. And it also made me think, like, you know, the cool thing that my sponsor at the time had me do was I wrote down all my character defects, and then she had me write down what the character, what's the opposite of character defect, but it's like the opposite of the character defect. So, you know, I'm blanking, like, what the opposites are, but, you know, it's like live and let live and turning it over and, acceptance and gratitude, that, you know, a lot of those go for a lot of the character defects. And that was a really handy way for when I realized that I was acting out of a character defect, I could think of what's the opposite, or I could literally go to the list and see what's the opposite of this character defect. It was like, oh, gratitude. I need to practice gratitude. And that has been really handy. And it literally, Laura, as you were sharing, I was like, I should go back to that list that I have in my step work and look at the things that I can do the opposite of the character defects that I'm acting out of in this internship. Like, why don't I look it up? You know, and that's the beauty of the step work, is that, like, I have it all still, and it still is good and it works. And that I, you know, just because I didn't do, you know, sitting for an hour and thanking God in the past, I mean, doesn't mean I can't do it. It doesn't mean I can't do it tonight. You know, I could do it after this meeting. So, there's some really good reminders in this part of the shares, and I appreciate it. I'll pass.
Beautiful. Thank you, ladies. We're now going to our final reading tonight, which is on page 76. When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. And Laura?
I have had such an up and down and up and down and up and then down some more journey with God. I have just struggled. I came here with a lot of baggage. My sponsor, my current sponsor, always tells me, you know, I can take God to the mat anytime I want to. I am not going to win, but I can take God to the mat. And that's been really helpful for me. And it's funny, I just like really, I don't even know what the right word is, but this idea that God wants all of me, right? That, like, God wants all of me. I am not broken. Like, these language here, good and bad, but I have started to just see things in a different light. So it's like, I just used to think of myself as so defective. Like, you know, I was lucky to get a decent husband. I was lucky to get a decent job. And I'm just bringing, you know, it's like, I wasn't living in that newness for so long, and I'm not perfect at it. Or, you know, whatever now, but I have, I think I have surrendered more to this idea that God sees me as whole. And while there is movement, ways that I think I can grow closer and be more connected, or I don't even know if more connected way, maybe experience it more fully. Cause I believe I'm connected. I believe I've always been connected. I love the language in the book where it talks about the distracted, you know, by pomp and worship of other things. You know, I love to do that. I love to get busy, 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 busy. Give me something to do so I can distract myself. And for me, it's always been what I really need to do is slow. I mean, what's very helpful for me is just literally sitting down, because it forces me to sit still for a second. And so this prayer has always meant a lot to me. The first time I took it, I don't think I really got it. I said it, and I probably will say in 10 years from now, I probably still don't fully get it. But I love this idea that God wants all of me. And then again, like I talked about before, I think that it's like God's in charge and what's useful. And some things that are really uncomfortable to me, they have been used. And I used to go, y'all can tell I'm crazy about it. I used to go in this whole debate, like, is it useful to God? Is that why God hasn't removed it? Or is it that I won't let go? Like, and I'd ping pong that back in for a while, which is exhausting and doesn't work and more me managing my spiritual growth. So I do less of that today. But just this idea that, that I'm going to be willing to just show up and be what God wants me to be today. And that God will give me strength. And that I'm to go out and to do what God wants me to do. The 10th step, the 11th step, all that stuff, and, keeps going. It really talks about, like, I'm in the world to play the role that God assigns. And what I have found is I was afraid that was going to make me kind of robotic, but I'm just becoming more and more of who I was created to be. And I think that's the cool thing about sobriety and staying sober and practicing this stuff is I'm constantly seeing truths about that and moving into new things. You know, like I'm 43 years old and it's like, I spent most of my life so afraid to do stuff because I was going to fail. So I stayed in this like narrow lane. And so now I get the opportunity to, I've done all kinds of stuff, not all sane, but I tried beekeeping, you just get to, go out and do stuff and experience it. And not that I'm not scared sometimes, cause I am, or that I don't feel inept, but I think we're given so much power here to go and be of service and to be, like I get so fulfilled by being what God wanted to be. It's amazing how going and being of service to someone has changed my whole life. I was always looking to be filled up and it's actually complete opposite that fills me up. If that makes sense. But it's like by forgetting about myself and being a part of, I totally get taken care of. And I don't have to worry about being filled up or not because I am, like the Spirit's flowing through. So it's one of my favorite prayers. So thank you.
I wish I could just say ditto what Laura said, and then we could just like finish the meeting. Cause I related so much to that, but I was sitting here thinking like, I also really love this prayer that it says, I am now willing that you should have all of me good and bad. Like, it's not just like all the good, like, cause to me that means that I have to be perfect and I can't make mistakes because, in order to be a good AA, quote unquote, a good AA, like I have to be perfect. And that's not what we do. That my higher power wants the bad stuff too, And it's not so much that like I get to go out and be bad, but it's that I don't have to be perfect. That's the way that I interpret that. And then I also, I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. And again, it's like, that again to me is like, he's not going to take all my character defects. He's not going to take all of them away, but he's going to take the ones that are like forcing me forcing me like that I'm standing in my own way. Like he's going to remove the ones that are going to help me not stand in my own way anymore. And I have to just trust that I don't really know what those are. He's not going to send me an email and tell me or text and be like, these are the character defects I'm removing, just so you know. So I have to just kind of trust that like it forces me to get really present and kind of quiet and slow down. I think Laura mentioned that too, because I love to be distracted because I'm really selfish and I just want to do my thing my way and I want you to leave me alone, And this forces me to like slow down and pay attention. It's like, oh, is this, this thing that's happening, does my higher power want me to be helpful right now? Truly. And grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. I like that grant me strength thing because my selfishness is, obviously super rooted in fear. I'm a very fearful person. And a lot of times I feel like I can't do the things that AA wants me to do. That was a big argument that my sponsor and I had in the beginning. I was like, I'm not qualified to be of service. I can't do it. I'm not smart enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. And she had a very sane explanation to debunk all of those fears that I had, but I still think that like, I'm not strong enough and I can't do this and I'm not brave enough and I can't do this. And so when I say this prayer, like it's, I'm asking my higher power for, to be brave, you know, help me be brave so that I can do what you need to do. And that's an amazing thing. And when I can get into it, like when I can truly get out of my own way and stop thinking about myself for like 10 minutes, like magical stuff happens, you know, and like calling somebody on the phone that I don't know and, you know, just getting out of my own head and like being helpful to somebody, you know, I'm saying that out loud because I have a sponsee right now who I'm encouraging to do that. And she's really resisting. And I realized like, I haven't really done that in a long, so it's a good reminder for me that, you know, I need to put myself out there a little bit more because I've been getting a little afraid. I've been in a lot of fear. And then I can't be helpful to anybody. I can't be helpful to you. I can't be helpful to God. I can't like, then it's like, and it just like, it compounds onto itself. And then I'm just a wreck. And the longer I stay a wreck, the more likely I am to drink. So, yeah, I think that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, ladies. We still have a couple of minutes. Do either of you have any closing remarks or anything you wish you would have said? It's okay if you don't. All right. And anybody else out there have a quick share on 5, 6, 7? I saw a lot of heads nodding during the shares. Going once. Brookie, I believe. We'll get you unmuted. Bear with me. All right.
I'm like, maybe I need a new computer. Hi, everybody. I'm Brooke or Brookie. I'm an alcoholic and I'm like sitting here crying because, you know, I just did some very intense 5, 6, 7 work in the last just over a week. And it's been really, really intense and humbling to realize like I'm total self-will run riot. And I'm just feeling really grateful for AA right now because I was kind of ready to leave, to be honest with you. Like my double life and stuff is more about, you know, the phase I put in AA of being so great. And I go to all the meetings, I do all the service positions, I greet, I clean up, I do coffee, I do GSR, you know, I'm the newcomer coordinator, la, 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 you know. And meanwhile, like I'm self-will run riot and not having conscious contact with God and complete self-reliance and scared. And like, I think I'm just going to leave the program. I think I'll never have a sponsor again. I think that's a good idea, but I'll stick with the 12 steps. So had an inspiration to actually do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 on sponsorship and also on some general AA and other stuff. And I'm just like, holy shit, excuse my language. But I mean, I am. I'm being taken care of and being reminded that at the higher power. And the, like, I was crying when you said the good and bad because it's true. It's just like, well, if I'm not perfect, like, I don't merit my higher power's grace. And that's exactly what grace is because we're not perfect, we need it. So thank you so much to both of you guys for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, and for having the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Glad you're here. And thank you so much, Sarah and Laura. That was a really good meeting. And we really, really appreciate you being here. Everyone's going to get a chance to unmute at the end of the meeting and thank Laura and Sarah. So please stick around for that. And I am going to put the PayPal link in the chat pod again and talk about the seventh tradition a little bit. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. At this time, are there any AA-related announcements?
I'm an alcoholic named David. I'm going to share my screen. This home group, the Simple Actions Group, is having a workshop on Wednesday, two nights from tonight, 7 p.m. to 8:30. We've got Polly P. From Florida and her son, James L. They do a mother and son presentation of the family afterward. It's going to be fun. All are welcome. The Zoom information is available at the simpleactions.net website, as well as tidewaterintergroup.org. It's also the same information that everybody used to get into this room tonight. So hopefully we'll see you Wednesday. Tell your friends. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Any other? I am not seeing anybody. Alrighty. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Thank you. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here in the Zoom room after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. Or if you're shy, shoot us an email at info@simpleactions.net. In closing, can we thank our panel once again, Laura and Sarah? And once more, please do stick around after the Lord's Prayer so we can chat with them a little bit. And thanks to all who participated. And I have asked Mike F. to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. And I will put that on the screen for you, Mike. One sec.
Hey, everybody. I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic. A Vision for You, Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more and to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks for letting me read.
Thanks, Mike. And I will now close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Laura. That was amazing.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
Thanks for sharing your experience. Thank you.
You're welcome. This was such a cool meeting.
Thank you, ladies. It was great. You were really good.
Thanks, ladies. I'll come to Norfolk to hear my Richmond people.
Well, it makes it easy to travel. You know what I mean?
It does.
I know, no traffic.